So a few months ago, a friend invited me to a dinner, a sort of pop-up at someone's house where a cook from a fancy French restaurant was going to, quote, do his own food. Now, I've been to a few of these things before, and to be completely honest, you know, sometimes it feels well-intentioned, but you kind of get the feeling of why this person doesn't have their own restaurant yet. You know what I mean? But Behzad Jamshidi's food was different. It wasn't him just running all the specials his chef never lets him put next to the truffles. It was this beautiful vision of Persian cooking. It turned out that by chance, when he was starting a new job at this very fancy New York French restaurant one day, he happened to meet Anthony Bourdain, who said to him, hey kid, you don't need to cook this food. Like, French food has enough cooks. You need to cook the food from where you're from. And he took it to heart. Every dish Behzad made for us that night had a story behind it, about love and loss, and no matter how new and chefy it looked on the plate, it all felt and tasted like something old and enduring. And we knew we just had to cook with him. So Chef Behzad, thank you so much for coming to my house.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
You trained as a chef in exquisite high-end French and Italian restaurants. So how did you learn to cook Persian food? Was it purely just watching your mom, or
a bit of home influence and a bit of child labor? we had a family restaurant growing up in Vancouver, and my aunt was reserved away from the restaurant due to a car accident when I was 10, and so me and my older cousin got into the kitchen. And by older, I mean by 2 years. He was just taller and had more facial hair, so he like managed the front of the house, and I was trying to navigate this completely foreign world, and I burnt almost everything for the first couple of days. And one of the biggest things that I learned is like the quintessential ingredient outside of salt and time is patience and testing and failing and knowing there's a standard that I need to get to. There's definitely a lot of disappointed customers in the first couple of weeks that I worked there, but it was the most humbling experience of my life. Being able to really have my hands on something and, you know, manifest these dishes that tasted like my mom's and tasted like my aunt's.
Yeah.
And that now is like my reference point. Yeah. No matter how beautiful or elaborate I try to make a dish, if it doesn't taste like my mom's hands had a part in it, it's not as authentic as it should be.
That's awesome. So what are we making together today?
We're making one of my mom's absolute favorite stews called Khali Amoyi. It's this fish stew that's made with fenugreek, cilantro, herbs and spices, and some chili. And it's specific to an area of Iran that my mom grew up in. So I packed the fish in salt. Mm-hmm. The salt is just a mixture of turmeric and a bit of egg whites that come and make it mealy. Mm-hmm. It should resemble like sand that you use to make a sandcastle.
Yeah.
And we basically pack that down in a sheet tray. We put the fish on top. In the center cavity, you can do sliced shallots, some lime, something aromatic to keep it bright. Mm-hmm. And then we take the residual salt and we pack it on top and make kind of like this mummy cast of salt around the fish.
Yeah.
And then that bakes for about 25 minutes. Once that's cooked, we're gonna pull it out. And then from there, we'll break the cask and take the meat off meat off the bones.
So we've got the fish in the oven, and now we're gonna prep the sauce. Now, traditionally, you would make the sauce way before the fish.
I would let the sauce go for a couple hours, and right when I think it's maybe like 20 minutes out, I would pop the fish into the oven and have that be like my last step.
Yeah.
So we're gonna start off with some white onion. We're gonna saute this out in a tiny bit of olive oil.
Okay.
We're looking to get some caramelization. So you'll see us cook onions for 2 hours at a time, and it seems crazy, but it completely changes the dynamic of the dish.
Yeah.
So we're gonna let the onions go a little bit. At the very beginning, I'm just gonna add a little pinch of salt. That just helps pull out some of the moisture from the onions, and they stop them from burning. We're gonna add in garlic next. I think the most essential part, honestly, when you're building anything, is taking the essential steps to make sure that the onions are at the perfect spot before you take on your next step.
Yeah.
Taking the time to really build it. Our next part here, we're gonna add our spices. So I'm gonna add a little bit of white pepper.
Okay.
A tiny bit of coriander seed.
And these are not ground, you're adding these spices whole.
I'm grabbing these spices whole. Typically, if you were to not want to blend the sauce, you can kind of grind these spices inside a mortar and pestle.
Okay.
Just so that they break down a little bit.
Sure.
But the texture and the mouthfeel, I think, is really nice for a stew like this.
Yeah.
It also shows how rustic this style of cooking is. We're gonna add a little bit of chili.
Some cumin.
My favorite chili is Aleppo. I like that pepper, it has a little bit of tartness. It's very, very bright.
Yeah.
And we're also gonna add a little bit of turmeric. I mean, without fail, almost every Iranian recipe has some form of turmeric inside it.
Mm.
Helps with digestion, because Persians eat a lot of rice.
Yeah.
So it's good to have turmeric in and out of every meal.
Yeah.
So now this is really aromatic. We cook out our turmeric just to kill a little bit of the raw flavor. Mm-hmm. We're gonna add advia, the spice mixed with the cardamom and the rose petals. And then we're gonna add these limes for a bit of tartness. Yeah. These are brined and fermented Persian limes.
Yeah.
They're essentially picked off the tree. They're brined in salt water and then they're left out in the sun to dry.
Yeah.
So they have this like really deep, musky, sour aroma and flavor.
Yeah, and they're black. It looks like a nut. And they just kind of pulverize and add them right into the dish.
Exactly. So our next part, we're gonna add our herbs. I think this is the most essential step. So here we have cilantro, chive, and scallion. On top of that, I'm gonna add some fenugreek. If you can get your hands on fresh fenugreek, which I know is incredibly difficult, dried fenugreek is great as well.
Yeah, the leaves, dried fenugreek leaves.
Dried fenugreek leaves. And a little goes a long way.
Yeah.
Too much of the fenugreek will make your stew quite bitter. And you can also expect your house to stink of this for a while.
It's pungent, it's floral, but it's almost sort of medicinal smelling. But like the kind of medicine like, I'm gonna live forever.
Yeah. One thing that really bothered me growing up was the smell of fenugreek in the house. And like me and my brother would like commented on it consistently. I hated this dish as a kid. I didn't understand why my mom would take hours to just like perfume the house with this like astringent, bitter herb.
Yeah.
And I remember going up and going up to my mom and going, I don't understand why you make this one stew. The house smells of fish, it smells of fenugreek. I go to school with my clothes smelling like this. The kids think I'm weird. There's so many other more beautiful things with like cinnamon, which is more familiar, but you choose to do this. And she goes, I left Iran with nothing. She flew Iran in 1979. Her and my dad had a really tragic time trying to find their way into North America. And she goes, when I cook, I get to be in my kitchen back home again. Yeah. And for a moment, I'm taken back to what it was like before war, before I had to flee, when I had both of my parents around, I could cook for them. And it really started to dawn on me the density behind what the action to cook actually is. You know, we can cook a meal and it's great and it's food, or we can put intention behind everything that we do.
Yeah.
And that's what I do now in New York. I cook her recipes when I miss her the most, so that I feel like I'm back in her kitchen. We're gonna add tamarind now. We're gonna cook the tamarind out just for 1 minute, just to develop a little bit of the sugars. Yeah. So essentially you want a paste. It's gonna build the body of what the whole sauce is gonna be.
Mm-hmm. So that's when you add your water, it'll help thicken it up. But this also speaks to the quantity of herbs used in Persian cooking that I don't really see, or I can't think of another cuisine that uses this many herbs. You cook it all the way down and whatever little fiber and pectin is in those herbs
is all extracted over this like long, slow process of sautéing them.
Yeah.
We're gonna add our water. We're gonna bring this up to a simmer and we're just gonna let it go. We always say everything tastes better when you let it sit overnight.
Sure.
So like we'll have it the first day and then by the third day, it's like something completely different.
Okay, so because of the magic of radio, you have the sauce fully made, it's pureed, it's beautiful, it's the darkest green I've ever seen in my entire life. It's like almost black, but you can see in the light that there's a green tinge to it. And we've unearthed the fish mummy.
Unearthed.
And it is beautiful. You can see it's cooked it's so tender.
Snapper or bass is my favorite just because their fat content and their flavor is like, it's epic for this type of stew.
So the fish is off the bone. It's looking pretty.
It's gonna go into the stew and get a lot prettier.
Woo. But right when you lift that lid, I could smell all that cilantro. And I could smell that fenugreek, that again, that like floral medicinal smell.
So that's essentially our stew. I highly suggest making a delicious tadig or some form of Persian polo, basmati or jasmine rice to have it with. Fresh cilantro or coriander is an amazing garnish. We always love our tart, so we always have some form of lime at the table to always squeeze on last minute. But
interesting.
This is a... Yeah, your home smells like mom's house right now.
That's awesome. All right, let's have a taste.
Awesome.
Whoa.
Tastes like mom's.
Really?
Yeah.
You grew up eating this.
It tastes like mom's.
I'm jealous. This is wild good. It's so concentrated and so earthy and musky. But then when you taste it, there's so much beautiful tartness. This is incredible.
Well, thank you so much for taking me to your home.
An absolute pleasure to bring it to you.
You can find out more about Behzad Jamshidi and where he's cooking next at mooshnyc.com. That's mooshnyc.com. Find his recipe for halye mahi, a Persian spicy fish and herb stew, at splendidtable.org.